Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
It's that time of the week. It's Doggy Pod time.
Hey everyone, Stephen Peters here with
Dr. Rob Zammit,
and welcome back to the Doggy Pod,
the podcast where you learn everything you need to know about your best friend, the dog.
And in this episode, we'll be talking about grooming, and I don't mean the best in show type of grooming, but the basics.
Like, should you be cutting your dog's nails, and how often should you do that? And something I always get asked, how often should I clean my dog's ears?
We'll also be talking about doggy bad breath. What does it mean?
It means you end up with a whole lot of bad breath in your face when the dog jumps on the bed. But more importantly, what can we do about it?
And do dogs get headaches? We'll chat about that a bit later. And our celebrity dog breed this week is a Shetland sheepdog. But this Shetland sheepdog is just one of seven dogs owned by one of the most recognised and sometimes controversial singers in the world. And our special celebrity guest this week is television and radio presenter and sports broadcaster, Mr. Tim Webster. And you'll hear about Tim's love of dogs shortly. But first, Rob, how's it been at the clinic this week?
Well, we had an unusual case for me because it was a dog that I did not want to really take on as a client because the dog was in such a bad way. I honestly thought it was possibly the end of the dog. A couple of weeks ago, the gentleman brought in his old dog, carried it in because he couldn't walk, put it down, said, I'd like you to do stem cells on this dog.
I said, what does that mean, do stem cells?
Yeah. Stem cells are used in human and in veterinary medicine these days. Stem cells are very primitive cells, if you like, that change into a different type of cell. You know, if you think about an embryo, it starts off as just a one-cell organism that divides and divides. It has to divide. That embryo, that cell, has to divide into all different types of cells. It has to become muscle cells, it has to become liver cells, skin cells, bones, etc. And stem cells have the ability to divide and become something that's needed in the body in a certain area. This dog was very, very arthritic. What we do is we take fat from the animal, process it, and we used to think fat was just an area of extra calories that we have, but there's lots of other things in fats, lots of other reserves. And one of the reserves is stem cells. So we put it through various paces in our laboratory and emulsifiers, etc. And we extract all the stem cells from the fat. We hit it with a laser. Good old Einstein, he really did a lot for humanity and developed a laser, and we use that to stimulate these stem cells, and then we inject it back into the body in areas it's needed. In this case, it was in a lot of different joints. Well, that was a few weeks ago that happened. He came in this week, the dog trotted down my hallway, came up to my desk and plonked his front feet on the desk. I have never been so happy for a dog to just clear my desk with his front feet as I have that day. It was fantastic. This old dog, he just said to me, look, you know, I told you it would work, because I was saying, I'm not so sure, sir. It's an old dog, you know, should we be doing it? He wanted to do it. I against what I thought was my better judgment. My better judgment was wrong. This dog did so well with stem cell therapy. Very, very proud of that. What happened with that dog, and he's going on to have a few more months or years. I don't know which at this stage. We never know when it's time, but the dog is happy at the moment. That's the other thing that we can learn from our dogs. Live in the moment. The dog is happy now. And he's just living with his owner in a happy place. That's how we should be.
Hopefully he'll get a few more years out of his dog after that. Okay, time for our quiz question this week. And that is, puppies are delivered how many weeks after conception? Is it 36, 22, 9 or 4? Rob will give us the answer to that a little bit later. Now, Rob is a show judge and a breeder of show dogs, so he knows pretty much everything there is to know. But let's just talk about some of the basics for your average dog owner. Let's start with the ears. It feels like it might be a bit dangerous to be poking around in our dog's ear canal. Is that right?
Oh, absolutely correct. A lot of people insist on cleaning the dog's ears every week. And then what happens, of course, they've damaged the ear. And I'm not talking about the eardrum further down the ear, but just the actual canal itself gets damaged if you're cleaning it unnecessarily or cleaning it in the wrong way. Firstly, when should I clean my dog's ears? Have a smell of them. I mean, use all your senses when you're looking after your dog. One of them is your nose. You'll know if it's got problems in its mouth by bad breath. Same with the ear. Have a smell of the ear. It should smell, you know, neutral or a little bit sweet. It certainly shouldn't be a pungent smell.
I would have thought most people have probably never cleaned their dog's ears.
Well, and I don't mind that. If the ear does not need cleaning, you shouldn't touch it. I agree with that. You know, people often say to me, how often should I clean my dog's ears? I say, only when necessary and possibly only under veterinary advice. So have a look. If you see a lot of black discharge, it needs cleaning. If it is real malodorous, you know, just a real stink to it, it needs cleaning. How do I clean the ears? Get yourself a good ear cleaner for dogs and just some cotton wool, not cotton buds, just loose cotton wool. Have someone hold the dog's head so he doesn't shake all the ear cleaner out, flood the ear canal and massage. Massage, massage. And when you're a bit bored, massage a bit more. Yeah, you need to take a few minutes to massage. Then get the cotton wool, loose cotton wool, introduce it into the ear and pull it out. Don't go rubbing it around. We're not cleaning silverware here, folks. If you start rubbing it around, you damage the inside of the ear. You just need to put the cotton wool in, pull it out. Keep doing that until the cotton wool comes out clean. The ear is done. And you can do the same with the other ear. So put the ear cleaner in, massage down the ear canal. Learn where your dog's ear canal is. It's a lot lower than the opening, a lot lower. Have a feel of it. That's where you need to massage. And all this brown gunk in dirty ears will come to the surface. You can just dab the cotton wool there, get the brown gunk out, and then put cotton wool all the way down, pull it out. Do not poke in hard, do not press it in hard, just in and out with cotton wool. Don't rub it around, please. And only clean the ears when necessary. Simple thing, if you're not sure, go to your veterinarian. He'll know or she will know whether the ears need attention or not.
Now, another grooming area of the dog, of course, is their nails.
Right.
Should we be clipping them or do they just kind of get scratched down to a safe level just from walking around?
If your dog has a good tight foot, in other words, the toes are nicely tight together and arched, and most dog breeds, that's what they should have. And if they get walked on a bit of a hard surface, they'll often wear them down and do not need attention. If the nails are getting too long, then tread carefully, folks, because inside the dog's nail, unlike ours, inside the nail, there is a vein, there is an artery, and there is a nerve. And if you cut that, you will cause a lot of pain. Plus, your dog will never want anyone touching its feet again. It really, really hurts if you cut a dog's nerve that's in there. The vein, artery, and nerve are sometimes referred to commonly as the quick, which is inside there. So if you're going to cut the nails, make sure you have the right appliance. You have proper nail trimmers that you've bought from the pet shop and just take the tips off if you're not sure. If your dog has clear nails, a lot of dogs have black nails, Steve, and you can't see inside the nail, so you won't see the quick. If it's a a clear nail, you'll actually see the pink fleshy part. You must avoid that at all time. If you're not sure but your dog has sharp nails, get a file, not a nail file, just one that you buy from the hardware, and just file it back a little bit. As you trim a little bit or file back a little bit, the quick recedes. So after a week or two, you can just take a little bit more back and do it slowly. Hasten slowly when you're doing nails. Sometimes it's just easier to pay someone to do it for you, because if you hurt your dog, you'll never forgive yourself. If you do cut too much and it's bleeding a lot, don't panic. Just hold something over it. Often just some corn flour, would you believe, put on there and then hold it on. Hold it for a good minute, no peeking, and it'll clot. Unless you've gone right back and cut the artery hard, that will usually just stop the bleeding.
I'm sure your dog will let you know either way whether you're doing it the right way or the wrong way.
Yeah, very much so.
Now, my dog often has shocking bad breath.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is that due to anything in particular? And if so, what can we do to give your dog fresh, minty breath?
Oh, yeah. Well, one thing you need to make sure, of course, is the teeth. Most common reason dogs have bad breath is bad teeth. So have a look at the teeth. If they look terrible, if they look yellow or tartar, or if there's inflamed gums, if you can see a lot of redness in those gums, I'm afraid it's a trip to the vet and get those teeth properly scaled back and trimmed. If the teeth are only a little bit yucky, you can use a raw bone once a week or once a fortnight even, not a chicken bone, no poultry of any kind, no turkey, nothing like that. I don't like raw poultry for dogs. And you're better off using a lamb neck or a lamb brisket or a beef brisket. The dog will chew on that and scrape the teeth, and that cleans the teeth very, very well. We did do a segment not so long ago about trying to brush your dog's teeth. If you're into that, you can give it a try. For me, giving the bone is much easier. The other thing, reason, if the teeth are all good, you've still got bad breath, it's a trip to the vet, because there could be something going on. Of course, watch what you're feeding. Make sure you're feeding a good quality food, because that can cause bad breath. If it's a bad quality food and it's fermenting, that will cause it. But it may be tonsils. Dogs get tonsillitis, or it could be an infection, an abscess somewhere else in the mouth that your veterinarian will have to have a look at and address accordingly. One other thing that can sometimes help with dogs that get bad breath and no one knows why, you know, it's the vet's checked it, you've checked, everything's been done, and they still get this not so nice breath, a little bit of rosemary, fresh rosemary, chopped up and mixed with his food. For some reason, it seems to give that dog that fresh mint breath that you talk about. It can really help their dogs with bad breath.
It might make their breath smell like a Sunday roast.
Very nice.
which is not all bad, of course. Do dogs get headaches? I often see dogs, yep, and they look pained, and they're, you know, they've got a frown, and I just think, gee, I wonder if that dog's got a headache.
Look, it's been looked at, actually. There's been some studies that have proven that dogs do get headaches from time to time. So if your dog's having a bad day, it could just be that. You know, if your dog's not coming, it's cold and doesn't want to eat, it could just be just having a headache. One of the things that, and I unfortunately had this in the clinic, it's a dog that I'm looking after at the moment, a beautiful Labrador, and he has a brain tumour. It was found by MRI because he was head pressing. What do I mean by head pressing? Yeah, well, when you got a headache, you hold your hand on your forehead.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Dogs will go up to a wall or a cupboard or somewhere and just press their head gently up against it to relieve pain in the head. It's head pressing the way we do. And that's an indication it could be having a headache, or in this poor dog's case, he was doing it so often then started seizuring, turned out to be a brain tumour that we're trying to medically address for as long as possible.
Now, I'm guessing we probably shouldn't be giving our dogs Panadol or aspirin or anything
well,
like that.
Well, you can. They are safe as long as you use the right dose. If you don't know the dose, don't use it.
Small, would imagine.
It's a small dose. You need to weigh your dog, know the dog's weight, and make sure you're giving the right amount. If you're not sure, just, again, ring your veterinary hospital. Your veterinary nurse will often talk to you on the phone about the dosage for your particular dog. So just be very, very cautious about those drugs. They are quite acceptable in dogs, both paracetamol and salicylic acid or aspirin. Both of those things can be utilised very successfully in dogs, but the dose rate has to be correct. If you overdo it, you'll destroy the liver.
So while we're talking all things grooming, Rob, you're a show dog judge and a breeder of show dogs. You must have seen some wacky stuff, some extreme lengths that dog breeders have gone to when they're showing their dogs, because they take it very seriously and rightfully so. There's a lot of work goes into it.
They certainly do, Stephen. I have seen some of the funniest and ridiculous things that people will do to make sure their dog is presented correctly.
Go on, give us one good story, good juicy story.
I saw this little woman carrying a Great Dane. I'm serious, because it was raining and she wanted to show the judge that it's got lovely feet and didn't want to walk it through the mud. Now, for goodness sakes, you're going to do your back end, woman, I said to her. She said, no, it's all right. I'm okay. I'm strong enough. And she carried it from her tent all the way to ringside so the dog wouldn't.
A Great Dane.
A Great Dane. Stephen, this woman was probably 4'6", in dripping wet at the best, and she was carrying this Great Dane. And Great Danes are big dogs. I don't actually have the strength. I wouldn't be able to carry it that far, but I guess she was able to do it. She didn't want to get the little feet wet. He didn't like the rain, she said. There you go.
I reckon there's probably a whole episode we might do soon just on showing dogs and some of the stories. Behind-the-scenes stories from the dog showing world. I think
one day we'll even do a live broadcast from a dog show.
Ooh. Now, our celebrity dog breed this week is a Shetland sheepdog. Now, not in Old English. I want you to tell me the difference in a sec. And this Shetland sheepdog is owned by singer Miley Cyrus, who owns six other dogs, but the Shetland is named Emu. And he is supposedly her favourite so much that she has a tattoo of Emu on her back. So, Rob, what is a Shetland sheepdog, and how different is that to what we all know, I guess, as an Old English sheepdog?
Yeah, the Old English sheepdog, sometimes called the Dulux dogs, because the company Dulux have had them as their symbol for many, many years. But the Shetland sheepdog, the difference is firstly about 2 feet. The Shetland sheepdog's a little dog. They're only a couple of hand spans in height. That's it for this breed.
That doesn't sound like a good breed for being a sheepdog, considering sheep are considerably taller than that.
Great when you're on the Shetland Islands and you've got all those rocks and things to climb and jump around. A big dog could easily not find its footing, whereas a little dog, a lot less weight on slippery surfaces and is not going to slide down. Like a big dog's going to put its weight on a rock that might be a bit slippery and slide all the way down.
Mm, good point.
Shetland sheepdogs, they are really good little sheepdogs, actually, quite amazing. And because they're all heart, they are just beautiful, great for children, lovely for children, because they're small. And so young kids, that's the size they want. A dog staring them in the eye, eyeballing them eye to eye, can be a bit off-putting for some children. So a little Shetland sheepdog is ideal. They've got a lot of hair. They're well-coated. The standard says, believe it or not, a sweet expression. And if you look at these dogs, they are everything sweet is in their face. They have semi-erect ears. If you imagine a collie, most people have seen Lassie,
the
dog breed. That's what they're sometimes referred to as little lassies.
They're like a little lassie dog. Okay, I get
collie.
It now, yes.
Very furry, a lot of coat, very sweet. They still need a bit of grooming because they've got a fair bit of coat, but they're not a high-maintenance dog. But generally, they're a breed that do not have a lot of issues with bones and things like that. They have a lot of issues with what's called luxating patellas or dislocating kneecaps, not as common in this breed. And they're a good sound breed that you can think of as a low-maintenance breed, not expensive to run. They do really well as a family dog, but will always be with you. They'll keep up with anything you want to do. Good little guard dogs. They will, they're not a dog that's going to launch themselves at someone, but they'll let you know if someone's outside. They'll quickly alert and bark and let you know somebody's out there. But great little dogs. I love them dearly.
Okay, thanks, Miley Cyrus, for putting us onto that. Now, during the week, Dr. Rob caught up with TV and radio sports and news presenter Tim Webster.
Your dog.
Yeah.
How important is it to you?
Look, it's very hard for me to say that I love my current dog more than any of the others, as you know, because you were my vet. I had German Shepherds for a long time.
That's right.
And I loved them. I had especially Oscar and Emmy because they were the only awards I'd ever get. and they were gorgeous. But I've had two Rotties in recent times. Roscoe, who, he made it till he was nearly 10, but he ended up with some very bad arthritis in his back legs, which, as you know, can be an issue. But my current Rottie, Lido, a female Rottie, she's just adorable, mate. I mean, I love my family, I love my friends, but this dog is, she's funny, she's got a sense of humour, she's incredibly loyal, and she's just a beautiful girl.
A few years ago, you were an inspiration to all of us. You went through hell and back with cancer surgery. A lot of people wouldn't have survived it. And all you said, I just drew the short straw. I was amazed when you said that on television, and you came in and said, now you've got to fight. You've got to fight, guys. What was that like, and how important were your dogs to you then?
Very important, mate. I mean, they sense things. You know this. They sense when you're not well. And Roscoe I had at the time, and he knew I wasn't well, and he just hung around me all the time. He was adorable. I'll say, at the time, I did thought my number was up a couple of times because, yes, I was very crooked, but I've managed to come
through. So you're... Tell me, your dog now, what's he? You see, he's a real clown. He's a real character of a dog, this one.
Yeah, she's a character. She's incredibly funny. She's a very typical Rottie there. As you know, they love their families and they're very territorial. But she's just the most loyal girl. I go for a walk with her every day during the week. I take her down to the creek where we live now and she pokes along and has a run and has a sniff of everything and never leaves me out of her sight. She's always looking back behind her to make sure I'm with her. And it's the highlight of my day. It really is. And she's, as you know, they're just friends. And they're very loyal friends. And I'll never dodge you. They're incredible people, dogs. And I call them people because I think that's what they are. You remember Chloe, hey? You had Chloe with you, my little girl. Well, we lost Chloe, but she was nearly 16.
Wow.
And in the end, as you know, she just... Her liver failed and she couldn't really stand up very well anymore and she was going to the loo everywhere. So she's very quietly and very beautifully buried at the place that, where we live, under a tree, and I hope she's a happy girl.
Yeah, and look, what you said is so true. It's not that you love this one more or less.
No.
Each one is a different love. That's all it is.
Yeah.
They're each a different love, aren't they? They just
they're
very unique and they're very different.
They've got different personalities, they behave differently, and certain breeds of dog I've found over the years behave differently. And you know, some people say, the little dogs, they don't like little dogs because they're yappy. Well, they don't have to be. As you know, they tend to be yappy when they're bored. So you keep dogs active and involved in their lives, and they'll be great.
Yeah, exactly right. Well, it's been wonderful catching up with you. It's really good.
Yeah, you too.
Okay, that just about wraps up this episode, but I know you're all wondering what's the answer to the quiz question, which was, puppies are delivered how many weeks after conception? Is it 36 weeks, 22 weeks, 9 weeks, or 4 weeks? Now, I'm not a vet, as you've probably gathered, and Dr. Rob is. What's the answer, Rob?
63 days, which is 9 weeks.
That's after very
conception.
Quick. That's
very quick. They're born, of course, with... no sense of sight, their eyes are closed, and they can't hear. But they can smell, and they quickly smell and get to the mother's breasts and suckle and taste, and they're fine.
How long after birth, then, do they do their eyes open?
10 days, usually around 10 days.
Wow.
Their eyes open and their hearing starts to come in about 2 weeks. That's when they start seeing a little bit of the world.
So up to that point, they're just relying on smell?
On smell and mum. Mum has to do everything for them, including, would you believe, toileting them. So they can't go to the toilet on their own. Mum has to, okay, folks, stop, put your dinner plates down for a sec. Mum has to lick their little bottoms and make them go to the toilet or their urinary tract areas, vaginas and penises, to make them actually express all their... excrement that way. Otherwise, they can't go to the toilet. They'd get constipated and die.
That takes a mother's love to a whole new level, I think.
There you go. It sure does, doesn't it?
Anyway, that's it for us for this week. We hope you've enjoyed it. If you have, please subscribe and tell as many people as you think might enjoy it. We love bringing it to you, and we will see you next week on the Doggy Pod.
Yeah, and for me, I remember Harry S. Truman. He was president of the USA, president of America, and therefore had to be in Washington, D.C. And he said, if you want a friend in Washington, get a dog.
See you later.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.